The opening and closing of Shulchan Aruch is very, very striking, particularly in the words of the Ramah. The Ramah concludes all of Aruch Chaim. Aruch Chaim concludes with Hilchos Purim, quoting a pasuk. The Ramah doesn't quote very many psukim at all in his Perush on Dalei Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes a very interesting pasuk: Toiv Lev Mishteh Tamid. Obviously, there's a mitzvah to party on Purim, a mishteh. And the Ramah concludes, Tov Lev, a good heart, is mishteh tamid. It's a very funny way to conclude all of Aruch Chaim. Tov Lev, mishteh tamid. What does that mean? What does that pasuk in Mishlei mean? Tov Lev, mishteh tamid. And question number two. The Ramah, who doesn't quote very many psukim at all, starts off Aruch Chaim also with a pasuk. And the pasuk that he quotes is Shvisi Hashem L'negdi Samid. Now that, we know why he quotes. That's the essence of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam in the Maor Nevuchim describes that the essence, all the Torah and mitzvahs is all about keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. The question number two, after the question of what is Tov Lev Mishteh Tamid, is wait a second. The psukim almost contradict themselves on what is Tamid. One pasuk says Tov Lev Mishteh Tamid. The other says Shvisi Hashem L'negdi Samid. Which one is it? Is it Mishteh Tamid or is it Hashem Tamid? Question number three. I'd like to look in the Megillah and then quote a few psukim from the Megillah and advance an idea that we made reference to in the past and really Bezer Hashem try to drive it home in Musar. Haman gets Achashverosh to go along with his plan. And in Perek Hey Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk says, Vayetze Haman Bayoim Ahu Sameach V'Tov Lev. He was happy. And the Megillah is about to change. That's the highlight of Haman, Haman's life. The Malbim says, Bayom Ahu, it was the only time in Haman's life that he was happy. Bayomahu, on that day he was happy. Vayetze Haman Bayomahu. Sameach v'tov lev. Question number three is, there's a very important pasuk about us being happy. We say it on Yom HaKippurim. Purim is like Yom Kippur. We start off, Lel Yom HaKippurim, Or Zarua LaTzadik, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. There, we also speak about someone who is a yosher, the avos are yisharim, that is what we aspire for. A yishrei lev, he is simcha. Yet by Haman, the description of his lev comes in a different order. When it comes to the yosher, it has first his lev, yishrei lev, then simcha. Yet when it comes to Haman, there it has it in the other direction. Sameach v'tov lev. Where does the lev go? Does it go at the end, as it does by Haman? Or beforehand, Uli Yishrei lev simcha. Where is the lev in the contrast to the simcha? Before or after? Three questions. Let's continue on with the pasuk. Says the Malbim, Haman is the prototype which just continued that which his elder Zayda, Esav, had begun. The elder Zayda says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. And therefore he's always looking for more. Vayetze Haman bayomu usamech v'tov lev. Haman was actually happy in his life for a very short period of time, a few moments. Probably about 20 minutes. And that is that the only way he was going to be happy was he was going to sit on top of the world just like Achashverosh. And that's what happens. He's now running the empire as much as Achashverosh does. However, the 20 minutes pass very quickly. I'd like to make three more points about these psukim, which to me are probably the most powerful Musar psukim in regards to gaiva and kavod that there is in all of the Chaf Dalet Tanakh. V'chiros Haman is Mordechai b'Shar HaMelech. When Haman sees Mordechai who's sitting there, velo kam velo zaz menu, and he doesn't move. Vayimale aman chema, says an album, that's it, it's all over. His experience of happiness is gone. So he gets upset, vayisape kaman pasuk yud, pasuk yud aleph, vayisape lehem haman es kvod ashra. So when Haman comes home, what's the first thing that he does? He talks about his wealth. Classic again. This is the classic mindset of Esav, yesh li rav, but he wants more. You know what he now tries to do? He's upset, he's disappointed. Someone hurt him, and he realized that there's someone who he can't control. That's going to be a very, very important word. There's someone out there that Haman cannot control. He controls Achashverosh, he controls most of the world. But there's someone out there he can't control, and that's Mordechai. So you know, he goes to his toys to try to feel better. So what does Haman do to try to make himself feel better? He thinks about all of his gashmias. He tries to enjoy it. Does it work? No, of course it doesn't, because his source of simcha is entirely off. Ayin Gemara Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Next step of Musar. Skip a pasuk again. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Says Haman, V'chol zeh einenu shaveli. This is the very, very powerful punchline. At the ultimate state of his despondency, which is ultimately the downfall of Haman, Haman says that everything he's got, being on top of the world, everything, he says, kol zeh einenu shaveli, everything is worth nothing to me. B'chol eis asher anirei es Mordechai Yehudi. At every moment I see Mordechai. Now, of course, he's upset that Mordechai is not bowing down to him. He's not cowering to him. But notice, it doesn't say that every time I see Mordechai doesn't bow to me. Every time I see Mordechai. Every time I see Mordechai, chol eis, every single time, I can't stop thinking, kol zeh einenu shaveli, all this is worth absolutely nothing. This reminds me of the words of the Altar of Nevardik. The Altar of Nevardik was one of the most powerful Bali Moser. His Sfarim are really not used very much today because his Moser was so powerful. A few weeks ago, I was reading a book about Nevardik. I opened up the Sefer Madregas HaAdam, and I felt like the Altar was screaming at me in a way that the Altar Sefer, maybe you have to be over 40. I'm not necessarily recommending for 18, 19, 20-year-olds to read it. It's a very, very mature form of Musar, and it's a very, very heavy form of Musar. But one thing I want to share with you, which I think is exactly what we're driving at B'chol Eis. It says the Altar in Abardic, page Reish Mem Dalet in Madregas HaAdam. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us with Baruch Hashem, a way in which our head stays straight on our heads. Unfortunately, I had a grandmother, Aleha Shalom, who suffered from Parkinson's. Many of you are familiar about Parkinson's from Nassim Tzvi Finkel's, that's how. And the body moves from side to side. Says the Altar in Avardik, you could have somebody whose body is convulsing, but their thinking is straight. And then there's a sickness of the mind where the mind doesn't stay straight. And he describes people, and the Altar is deeply psychological. He describes what we would call in psychology today as ruminative thinking. Ruminative thinking are people who, just like the head goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and can't stay in one position, the Altar describes people who constantly can't stop thinking about the same things. And by the way, not one Talmud has spoken to me about this, not two, and not three. And the Altar describes in such powerful, powerful terms. He says, just like that individual who's physically unhealthy, there's something that's on his mind, and he can't stop thinking about it. He can't stop thinking about it. He opens the Gemara, it's still on his mind. What happened? The Altar describes, someone criticized him in a way that he was insulted. Or, there's a friend of his who's doing something, and he wasn't invited. And all of a sudden, the Alter describes, he can't stop thinking about it. And then what happens, the Alter says, the next step after ruminative thinking is, if you don't catch it in time, is it leads to chas v'chalila paranoia. Before long, everybody is out to get you. Alter describes in Reish Mem Hei, before long, his worries and insecurities that started with gaiva and kavod begin to possess him. And his friend next time invites him out for dinner, but now he thinks he doesn't really want to have me out for dinner. It's because of something else. And before long, he can no longer think about anything straight. Lania's daiti, that's the pshat, b'chol eis asher ani roe Mordechai. Haman can't think about anything else. And it all started with the fact that Haman had things backwards. What was question number three? Uli yishrei leiv simcha. Versus that Haman goes out, sameach v'tov leiv. Haman is looking to try to get happiness out of the approval of others, out of his indulgence in Gashmias. What is Yishrei Lev? Yishrei Lev Avram Avinu is the individual that understands that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world, and he is not going to manipulate and try to control that which is around him. And that's exactly the Nes of Purim. The miracle of Purim emphasizes this exact point. Chayiv onesh levesume bepuriyaya adlo yada. What does adlo yada mean? Say Bali Machshava. Adlo yada means that a person realizes that what he thinks is Baruch could sometimes, God forbid, be Aror. And what he thinks is Aror could be Baruch. It's a surrender to Kudsh Baruch Hu. It's a munan bitachon. And if a person doesn't surrender to Kudsh Baruch Hu, then that becomes the start of chipus gaiva v'kavod and ultimately leads to places of such unhealthy forms of thinking. In Nevarduk, they try to break this. I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Reisman Shlita, that Nevardik, most boys didn't have a suit. They only wore a suit when they used to go on a date. But there were three suits in the yeshiva. That's how the Alter wanted it. Small, medium, and large. Everybody, you either fit into a small suit, only 3 dates a night, a small or a medium or a large. And everybody shared. That was the way the Alter wanted it. There was no guy that was going to be cooler than everybody else that all the girls are going to want to date. No, everybody was the same. They all shared the same, exact suits. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, who was a part of a different tradition of Tzabotka, pointed out that when a person begins to break down those extreme senses of individuality and begins to share, then that ultimately refines their Torah and changes their Torah. Medrash Rus Perek Gimel describes the Dor of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, in which there were six Talmidei Chacham that shared one blanket. And Rav Nosson Tzvi had raised that was the pinnacle of Avodas Hashem, of Amilus Petorah. That Dor of Dor Shor Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. In Slabotka, they used to emphasize Gadlus HaAdam. In Nevardik, they would bang home the fact that every single person needs to sometimes even embarrass themselves. They used to teach boys. Some people say it didn't go so far. There's a machlokas amongst Talmidim of Nevardik whether this was actual practice for everybody. But it said that they would encourage a young man to go into a pharmacy and say, "Can I have a hammer?" And the pharmacist would say, "What?" He would ask again in a loud voice. All the customers would hear in a pharmacy, "Can I have a hammer?" And he would say, "I'm sorry, this is a pharmacy. We don't have hammers here?" And before long, everybody would start laughing. And the boy would walk out with a straight face. Boom! This kavod, v'chol zeh inenu shavali, is what's going to happen with that kavod. And that sharing is so powerful. It reminds me, they say there was a couple who went out to, an elderly couple that went out to eat, and they bought a very small portion. It was like a fast food place. They bought a hot dog and french fries, and a small portion, and somebody notices that the husband cuts it in half, and he says to the husband, please, he figured that they didn't have very much, can I buy you also another hot dog and french fries? He says, no, we've been doing it this way for the last 50 years, we're very, very happy. We don't have a lot, but we're very happy doing this. And he watches. The husband takes a small half of the hot dog and he eats it. And the wife is sitting across from him and her hands are on her lap. She's not eating. The fellow says to her, well, why aren't you? So he says, oh, I'm waiting for him. I'm waiting till he finishes and then I could get his teeth. They shared. They even shared their false teeth. Rabosai, it sounds disgusting, right? They washed their teeth beforehand. But the point is, if anybody zocheh mirtzeh Hashem, if you share together with your wife for 50 years, there's something very, 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 very beautiful about it. But it's not only about a husband and a wife. It's about in the yeshiva as well. And what happens is we build walls, and we build walls, and we build walls between us. And that's exactly what got us to the problem in the first place. Yeshna am echad mefuzar meforad beino amim. Klal Yisrael is divided. Everybody's focused on his ego, his kavod, his taiva. The Altar of Navardik says, if you don't catch it now, God forbid you're going to become a pathetic, paranoid person. That's how they dealt with it in Navardik 100 years ago. We're not on that madrega. I'm not interested to share with my wife false teeth. But there was another nekuda that the Altar Nevardik said. And that is, the Altar Nevardik said that the only antidote, this is on page Samach Vov in Madrega Sa'odam, the only antidote to this challenge is for a person to begin to work on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma. And no one knows. We have many different people who are sitting here. No one knows, describes the altar, which sofer is writing the tefillin lishma and which one is not. No one knows which person is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishma. But that is the only way, says the altar, that a person could combat this idea. And what it means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishma is, I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm here to serve you the way you want me to serve you, and to be a chelek, a part of your beautiful world in Klal Yisrael, however I can best serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world and mankind. That's lishma. And that's the only way that a person's going to combat that dangerous form of thinking of v'chol zeh inenu shavali. And Purim is the antithesis, as we said from Rav Tzadik HaKohen, is the antithesis of that sense of control. Because what happens on Purim, we mentioned Ad Lo Yada, that you don't know what is for the good and what is for the bad. That's what V'nafachu is all about. Says Rav Tzadik HaKohen, not only is that what V'nafachu is about, that's the meaning of the Tov Lev Mishte Tomit, with the Ramah concluded all of Shulchan Aruch. And that is a tov lev. A tov lev, Reb Tzadok claims, is someone who says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my lev is focused on doing everything letov, and I'm accepting kol man da'ovid rachmona letav ovid. That's tov lev mishta tamid. That's a person that's happy. That's a person whose life is really a life of a party. And the world teaches us the exact opposite. The world teaches us the material things are going to make us happy. Conquering is going to make us happy. Dominating is going to make us happy. Control is going to make us happy. V'chol zeh inenu shavali. That's the moment that Amahan finally falls. And he has a fleeting moment of 20 minutes in his life of happiness. And the rest is Gehenna. Tov Lev Mishta Tamid means, says Rabbi Tzadok in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, Tov Lev is someone who understands, Kol Ma'an Domid Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me serve you the best I can. In Kainim Advarim, now we can answer the question of the opening and the closing of Shulchan Aruch. The world thinks there's Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and then there's Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. People are happy, good luck, and good, nice Jews, and then there are the tense Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid people, the Mekubalim, etc., etc. No. We asked, there's a stira. You're either Tamid Belev Mishta, or you're Tamid Shvisi Hashem. How can you be both? The Pasuk of Dilim and the Pasuk of Mishlei seem to contradict. Absolutely not. They're really Hainuach. Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid is the real party. That's the real sense of closeness with Kudsh Baruch Hu. That's someone who's going to be B'mishta Tamid. Of course we know that Mishta is not just simply eating and drinking. It can't be. Someone who has a life that's Daveg to Kudsh Baruch Hu, that is someone who has a lucky and free life. That is someone who's B'mishta Tamid. And that's the answer, of course, of the inverse of Yishui Lev and Haman. Haman starts off looking for simcha, for artificial forms of simcha, and he hopes the Lev is going to follow. Toiv Lev Mishtei Tamid Uli Yishui Lev Simcha tells us it's the exact opposite. Happiness is a result of a straight heart. Happiness is not something that one creates artificially, but happiness is something that comes out of a Yosher Lev. Someone who realizes that ultimately they're part of a beautiful Bria of Kudsha Brichu and a beautiful Am. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the Siyata D'Shmaya. There are so many Talmidim who are fine, orthodox young men, but are caught in the trap of ruminative thinking. So many people who are caught in the trap of being orthodox and being religious, but at the same time they are dominated with the sense of v'chol zeh inenu shavali. They live a life of yeshli rav and looking for more and more. And it's a life that's chas v'chol doomed to unhappiness. But if someone internalizes what the neis of adelo yada is, that I'm here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ano avdo dekud shabrichu, then he'll be zocha to truly a life of a Yosher life.